For those of us that cover the auto industry on a regular basis, we have a pet peeve when marketers and PR people refer to something as the first ever or all new. But this is one of those rare cases when those much abused terms is actually true. For the first time in 117 years, Ford has designed and built a new vehicle that is designed to be electric from the ground up. It's not a conversion of any existing internal combustion engine vehicle. And also, for the first time in the 56 years since the Ford Mustang was introduced, we've got a Mustang that doesn't have an engine in the front, rear-wheel drive, and a back seat that's completely useless. I'm Sam Abu-al-Samad. This is Hands on Tech, and this is the new 2021 Ford Mustang Mach-E, first ever and all new. Let's take it for a drive.
Hands on Tech comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Using the same password everywhere, that's a security nightmare waiting to happen. LastPass puts you in control of your online life by storing all your unique passwords in a secure, encrypted vault. Visit LastPass.com/Twit.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands on Tech is brought to you by LastPass. Start solidifying your cybersecurity strategy with the award-winning LastPass today. Go to LastPass.com/twit to find out how they can help you.
So the car I'm driving today is unique for Ford. It's their first ever in their history. Fully electric, battery electric vehicle designed from the ground up to be electric. Unlike some other early EVs like the Nissan Leaf, you know, where they decided to, you know, go for efficiency, make it a compact car, Ford decided to go for the heart of the market. What they really did was they learned from Tesla, you know, looked at, you know, what Tesla was doing and how Tesla was succeeding. You know, that was making cars that were cool looking, had cool technology, had good performance, and offered great range. And Ford decided to start with, you know, a compact midsize, you know, upper compact, you know, midsize crossover, because that's where the market is today. That's what people want to buy. It's getting close to, you know, SUVs and crossovers are, you know, about 40% of the U.S. car market now. And so they originally conceived this vehicle, you know, and they announced it in early 2017 as a more conventional crossover. It was basically, you know, it was going to be front-wheel drive, more something like an electric version of the Escape, which is, you know, a very popular compact crossover for Ford. But late 2017, they decided to completely change direction. They realized that that was not a car that was going to get people excited to buy an EV from Ford. And so what they did instead was they said, okay, what's our icon? What is the vehicle that really gets people excited? And within Ford, the Mustang is considered the heart and soul of the brand. It's by no means the best-selling car, but it is the car they build that is representative of so many things Ford. You know, fun to drive, you know, the racing history. Ford's racing history goes back to before there was a Ford Motor Company. You know, Henry Ford won the money that he used to start Ford Motor Company by winning a race, winning the Vanderbilt Cup. And so they decided to use Mustang as the inspiration for this car. And in the end, what they came up with was a crossover that has Mustang design cues, but they also knew that if they were going to put the Mustang badge on it, that they needed to make it something that would drive like a Mustang. It's obviously a car that's much taller than a traditional Mustang, but because it's electric, it has the battery in the floor, underneath the floor, that still gives it a relatively low center of gravity. And they put a lot of the people who've worked on Mustang over the years on this program, and you know, to try to infuse it with as much Mustang DNA, performance DNA, and the character and attitude as they could. And so, you know, they came up with something that, you know, has echoes of Mustang, but is also a very practical car for the first time ever. You know, traditionally, Mustang's the back seat, and a Mustang is not a place where you want to be if you're an adult. It's fine for kids, but, you know, it's always been a 2+2. This is a real five-seater. It's got four doors, got a hatchback, big cargo area in the back, and it's something that can be used as a family car, but it also has a lot of that Mustang feel. But it's also extremely modern, you know. So you've got things like this 15.5-inch touchscreen display in the center here with their Sync 4A system on it. They designed a completely new user interface for this car, and this is going to be spreading out to other vehicles as well. Unlike Tesla, Ford decided that you're not going to have everything in this touchscreen interface here. They did retain an instrument cluster display up in the front here, directly in front of the driver, which I think is where it belongs. You know, so that gives you information like your speed, your driver assistance systems like adaptive cruise control and the lane keeping assist, your range information. All of that is right in front of you. In the user interface here, it's designed to be basically three zones of this. You have the main zone up top here, you know, which is whatever the current application that you're using. Right now it's navigation for my drive route. But you've also got these cards down here in this middle section here, which represent the other applications that you've used most recently. So, you know, if you go to things like, you know, right now there's an iPhone connected to this, which is being used as the phone as a key system. And that brought up the Apple CarPlay interface. And you can see that when the CarPlay interface came up, navigation went down here into the most recently used slot in the cards section. So I can quickly get back to it, toggle back and forth. I can go to the Ford Pass app for charging. If I want to go to radio, tap that, and you can see the CarPlay and the navigation and Ford Pass are still down here, instantly accessible. So the system learns based on your behavior, based on what you're doing. And so I'm going to go back here. There's also at the top here, you have your picture. You can have profiles for multiple drivers in here. Each driver can have is tied to their own key fob, but it's also you can program it to the Ford Pass app on your phone. Use the phone as your key with Bluetooth LE. When you tap on that, it shows you all the apps that are available to you. The nice thing that they've done with this user interface is they've kept everything close to the surface, close to the top, so you're not drilling down through multiple layers of display or multiple layers of interface to get to the things that you want to use. It's all up close. So right now, there's three drive modes that are available. Right now, I'm in whisper mode, which is the most economical mode, the quietest mode. The engage mode is the default mode. That's kind of a nice balance between the better efficiency, but also more performance. And then unbridled is the most performance oriented mode. And what changes in between each of those modes is you get changes in the steering feel, the amount of steering effort. And, you know, for an SUV, this thing has excellent steering response, steering feel to it. Changing the drive modes also changes the accelerator pedal response. So in whisper mode, it gives you a little bit slower response when you tip into the accelerator pedal, a little smoother, calmer, more comfortable feel to it. But then when you go through engage and finally to unbridled, each time it gets a little more aggressive, both with the tip-in response so that, you know, when you hit the accelerator pedal, it'll respond quicker and jump off the line faster in unbridled than it does in either engage or whisper. But it also does the same in reverse for the regenerative braking. So in whisper mode, you get more aggressive unbridled mode, you get more aggressive regenerative braking than you do in whisper mode or in engage mode. And you also have the option here separately for one pedal driving. And you can set that and it'll remember what your settings were. So it always goes back to whatever your last settings were. So one pedal driving is great, especially if you're in stop and go traffic and in city traffic, or on a highway, even in a stop and go traffic jam, because it will bring the car to a complete stop when you lift off the accelerator. So I have not touched the brakes, and the car coming to a complete stop here. And then accelerating, nice quick acceleration, pushes you back in the seat. It's not as fast, right now as the Tesla, performance modes. But, you know, this also isn't the highest performance version. That's going to be the GT. The Mach-E GT that comes out in the summer of 2021 will be the version that goes up against the likes of the Tesla Model Y performance, you know, with its insane mode. The GT is going to accelerate 0 to 60 in the mid 3-second range, which will put it comparable to the Shelby GT500, which has a giant supercharged V8 engine. When I drove the Mach-E earlier this afternoon on the autocross course, that one we drove was the rear-wheel drive version. And what was interesting about it was, they really tuned the suspension feel to give it more of that Mustang feel. So, you get some off-throttle oversteer, so you can control the attitude of the car really well with the accelerator pedal. The ride quality in this, despite the performance capability, is actually quite good. It's very comfortable, but it's still got really good body control. One other aspect that does change when you change the drive modes is the sound. There's the unbridled. Gives you a little bit more aggressive sound to it. Engage, it's a little bit more toned down. And whispers, as you would expect, it's very quiet. Obviously, you're never going to have the sound of a classic rumbling V8 engine in this thing, which is not what this car is meant for. It's actually what they've done is they've created a synthetic sound to it that is tied to the performance of the vehicle, how fast you're accelerating, how fast you're tipping into the accelerator pedal, and tried to give it some of that flavor of Mustang. So it's got a bit of that rumble, but it's a unique sound. It's not like an internal combustion engine. It's a completely different thing that is authentic to the fact that this is an electric vehicle.
This episode of Hands on Tech is brought to you by LastPass. IT leaders need to invest now, I think we know that, in upgrading or adding security technologies that make remote work safer and more productive. LastPass, it's the best place to start. IT and security leaders will have the control they need from a central dashboard. You'll have access to security scores and dark web monitoring to see real-time readouts of your business's password hygiene and provide alerts to employees when credentials may be at risk. For every employee, you can review their password scores, gain access to shared accounts, monitor group memberships, and more. You need this thing. Go to lastpass.com/twit to find out how they can help you. That's lastpass.com/twit.
The interior design of the Mustang Mach-E does echo some of the classic Mustang themes, like the twin pod dashboard arrangement, although it's been toned down, obviously, and it's got different kinds of materials. The Mach-E is completely vegan leather interior, so it's a synthetic leather-like material, but that really feels like leather. It feels really good. It's on the seats. It's also on the steering wheel, and the steering wheel feels really good in your hands when you're driving this thing. The fabric covering across the top of the dashboard here, the front speakers are all behind this fabric here. So essentially what they've done is they've created something that looks and works kind of like a sound bar that you'd have under your TV. Very nicely integrated. Similarly, the door speakers in the front and the back are covered with the same type of fabric material. We've also got things like full glass roof that gives it a very open, airy feeling inside. The whole car feels really spacious. There's a wireless charging pad down here. It's got support for wireless Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. Unlike Tesla, Ford decided that you're not going to have everything in this touchscreen interface here. They did retain an instrument cluster display up in the front here, directly in front of the driver, which I think is where it belongs. So that gives you information like your speed, your driver assistance systems like adaptive cruise control and the lane keeping assist, your range information. All of that is right in front of you. The transmission, the shift, shifter position. So whether you're in park, reverse, neutral, or drive.
Turn left on Doyle Road.
On top of the steering column here is this unique pod. This is the driver monitor system for the active drive assist system that will be coming out next summer as well. The Mach-E and the new 2021 F-150 are the first vehicles from Ford that will have a hands-free, partially automated driving system available. So this is similar to GM's Super Cruise system. It'll work when you're on divided highways with limited access freeways. They have HD maps that will limit where you can engage the system. When you're on a road where it's allowed, then you can set it. It'll set the speed. It'll do lane centering, keep you in the lane. You can take your hands off the wheel. However, you do still have to pay attention, keep your eyes on the road. And they have infrared cameras here that function very similar to the Face ID system on an iPhone. So there's IR emitters that are illuminating your face, and what it's doing is it's doing gaze detection. So it's looking for where you're looking to make sure you're watching the road and that you're not looking away. So you can't take a nap or read a book or text while you're using the system. You do have to pay attention, but you just don't have to steer or manage the speed. Because this thing is electric and has all the battery under the floor and has a couple of nice small motors, in addition to having a lot of cabin space for passengers, there's also a lot of cargo space, much more than you've ever had in anything with a Mustang badge on it before. Big cargo area in the back under the hatch. There's also a front trunk, which has additional cargo space up there. The front trunk is actually really nice because it's lined in plastic. You can use it. It's great for, if you're going to the beach or whatever, you can throw your wet gear in there. And there's actually an active drain plug in the bottom of the trunk area. So if you put wet stuff in there, or if you're having a tailgate party, you can actually fill it with ice. And as the ice melts, it'll just drain right out the bottom, which is going to be really handy. The Mach-E is one of the first cars to incorporate a technology called plug and charge. Today with EVs, we have multiple different charging networks. We've got companies like EVgo, Electrify America, ChargePoint, and Blink, and others, and Greenlots. And you have to have accounts with each one of those to use them. So if you go to an EVgo charger, you've got to have an account. You've either got to have a little NFC card or have the app on your phone. And you get there, you plug in, you log into your app, and you activate the charging and pay for it. Do the same thing. You've got to have another app and another NFC card for ChargePoint and so on. With plug and charge, the nice thing about it, this is built in to the car. It's also going to be built into the chargers. And with the Mach-E, you set up your account, your payment information one time in the Ford Pass app, either on your phone or in the car. And then when you go to a charging station that supports plug and charge, you just plug it in. It identifies your car, authenticates it, starts charging, bills your credit card. You don't even have to do anything else. You just plug in and go, which is going to be great. It's going to make it so much easier, remove so much friction from the process. Electrify America is the first charging network to announce support for plug and charge, and others will be doing it over the next months and up to a year or so for some of the other networks. Charging station locations are also in the navigation system that's built in. It can automatically route you to those charging stations that are along your route, which is, again, very handy. A lot of other manufacturers are doing this as well, good to see Ford picking up and making the EV ownership experience as simple as possible for consumers. This vehicle, along with the new F-150, are the first vehicles to incorporate a new electronic architecture that Ford is rolling out this year, which supports over-the-air updates for all systems in the vehicle, not just the infotainment. The updates will happen in the background. It'll be done automatically. They'll download to the vehicle and automatically install. And you won't have to think about it. Depending on the nature of the change, what the system is that's being updated, it may even update itself on the fly. So things like map updates, if it downloads map updates, those can be updated while you're driving. Whereas safety critical systems, things like if it makes an adjustment to your brake system or the control of the battery management system or the motors, those things, the next time you start the vehicle, it'll update. So when you shut it down and restart, it'll automatically switch over to the updated software. So as Ford's first effort at building a ground up battery electric vehicle, I think they've done an outstanding job with this car. You know, everything is very solid. You know, there's no rattles. You know, everything, you know, the fit and finish is excellent. And, you know, just the refinement, you know, with the way this thing drives is extremely impressive. The Mach-E starts at about $42,000 before the tax incentives, both at the federal and state level. You can get $7,500 back on your federal taxes if you buy one of these. And then depending on what state you live in, there are incentives there as well. Places like California, New Jersey, many other states have state-level incentives. So you could very well get one of these potentially down into the low $30,000 range, which is, you know, that's about the same price as most other crossovers of this type. And certainly most of the crossovers, you know, in this size class are not going to have the performance capabilities of this. They're certainly not going to be as efficient and electric as this one is. So this is, you know, this particular model, this rear-wheel drive extended range model, I think is going to be about $51,000-$52,000 before incentives, which is still pretty reasonable. You know, it's not cheap by any stretch of the imagination, but it is you know, fairly affordable for what you're getting, and you do get a lot in this car. If you want to get into an electric vehicle, and it's your first time, or you're thinking of making a change from some other brand, and you know you're looking for something with some style and some performance, I think, you know, this is something. The Mustang Mach-E is definitely a vehicle that you should absolutely be considering. As I said, you know, starting at about $42,000, about $60,000 for, you know, fully loaded top end model with all the available options. You know, it's definitely worth a look. For Hands on Tech, I'm Sam Abu Al Samad.
Keep up with all the hottest tech news and gadgets. Visit twit.tv. There you'll be able to find and subscribe to all our tech shows. Thanks for watching Hands on Tech.